Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode is sponsored by Good Ranchers. Most people don't realize this, but over 85% of the grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is actually imported from overseas. It's a system that often pushes out American farmers and ranchers. That's why it matters to be intentional about where you buy your meat. That's why I choose Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers connects you directly with local American farms and ranches. 100% American meat, pasture-raised, no antibiotics, no added hormones. Delivered straight to your door. Make the switch to better meat. Go to GoodRanchers.com to start your plan and get premium American meat delivered right to your door. That's GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a fun and safe July 4th weekend or 4th weekend. Hope you still have your fingers today, and we can say that because, as we know, you probably either knew somebody, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, somebody who has had an accident on the 4th, and of course we know it at the highest level in the NFL. We know exactly the ramifications. If you're not safe on the 4th, what can happen to those fingers? So I hope you had a good weekend. I know we had some rain here. I was coming back, but I was reading stuff that I guess there was a lot of rain in the area or some thunderstorms, so I hope it didn't impede your fireworks too much. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie D has the day off. Chase McCabe over on the west side of town in Bellevue, and Marquise Munson back at the Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Guys, how was your weekend?
It was good. Darren, welcome back. Hope you had a nice trip with the fam.
I've lost some skin, but I had a good trip. I don't. Irish folks don't tan very well.
We do not. It's a process. Even though once I go through the burning process, then I'm okay. But there's always that initial burn that I have to get through. But I'm glad you had a good trip. We're doing well. You know, the weekend was fun. Obviously, a different 4th of July than we're used to, but we made it.
Yeah, I know. They canceled, obviously, which, you know, should be no surprise to anybody. But how was the weather around town on Saturday?
Well, it was – I know in some parts it was fine. Where I was at, it stormed. Like, we had a good rain shower that came through and some pretty fantastic fireworks, a.k.a. lightning, with that. But it was quick. I mean, it moved pretty fast, and then it was good. So – I know at various parts of town they had to deal with some rain. It was scattered, but other than that, not too bad.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be back. A lot. Well, not really a lot, but some things have been going on. I guess we're getting a little bit closer. I pull out my sheet as we made our bold predictions. How long ago was it? Probably 6 weeks ago. We made the prediction of the hub cities, where they would be.
Oh, yeah.
You were the only one that didn't even say Vegas. I felt very confident that Vegas was going to be one of the hub cities. Willie did as well. You went with Columbus and Dallas. Willie went with Vegas and Minnesota. And I went with Vegas and Edmonton. I threw a dart at Edmonton. And like I said, I thought I was just throwing a dart. And lo and behold, Edmonton and Toronto, they're going to stay north of the states, and they're going to do things up north of here, up in Canada. So Edmonton and Toronto are indeed awarded. Isn't it strange? It's not strange, because this is what it's been like these last 3.5 months, right? We talked about it, that week of, like, how fluid everything is and how, like, Vegas seemed like the virtual lock. I mean, nobody even really talked about it, because it was like, it was a foregone conclusion. Vegas, and then who else? Let's see. We got 9 other cities to choose from. And then toward the very end, it's like, oh, all signs are pointing towards Vancouver. It's going to be Vancouver in Vegas, the two V cities. And just like that, poof, it's Toronto and Edmonton.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we were last week while you were gone. Willie and I would be talking about it like, okay, it's Vegas and, and then Toronto and Edmonton. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's exactly what we thought was going to happen. And we had a discussion on Thursday or Friday about, okay, you look at the numbers in Vegas as they continue to go up. Ultimately, that, you know, that's obviously what led to this decision, that they had to decide, okay, we got to do something different. And what was, you and I were on the phone yesterday, and there were times we were having that discussion of way back when with Elliot Friedman of Canada might be out altogether because of, of policies they have in place, that Canada might not have a city, that the NHL originally wanted to have an American and a Canadian city, and then Canada might be out. Now all of a sudden they have both. So and the Stanley Cup final will end up being played in Edmonton, but through these agreements that are coming out and being worked on. So it has been a crazy ride, and as I have said, until Gary Bettman is in front of a Zoom screen or whatever saying this is what's happening, I'm not going to believe anything necessarily. I'll roll with it, but they're going to have to ratify all this, and then him say, this is what's happening. We're going to Edmonton, we're going to Toronto, and we're ready to resume, because it changes every day.
Well, I guess what we need to – I think it's going to happen. I guess what's going to be now the next layer to this is what we've seen now in the NBA and baseball. So when are the names going to start coming out of the players that are going to say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks, I'm out? Because it's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. We've seen it. In Major League Baseball, I feel like, at the times I couldn't keep up with it over the weekend, like – this person, they're opting out, they're out, this manager out, or this coach is out. And I was like, holy moly. And, you know, of course, all the positive test as well, which is another layer to it. But, you know, the NBA has dealt with it. Major League Baseball is dealing with it. And now the NHL is going to deal with it. And what's going to be the biggest name that's going to come out and say, you know, David Price certainly got everybody's attention over the weekend. And so who's going to be the David Price of the NHL that says, you know what, I'm out.
Felix Hernandez, he's another one for the Braves. He's not.
But Felix Hernandez is kind of, you know, Felix Hernandez 5 years ago has been like, whoa. But Felix Hernandez today, it's like, oh, okay, well, he's kind of at the end of his career. I mean, he's a guy, man. You're talking about dominant, and then he just, I don't want to say fell off a cliff, but, I mean, he kind of did, right? I mean, he's not very good anymore. It's just, and I realize he's only, what, 34? But I don't know what happened. I mean, remember, he used to pitch a lot of innings.
Yep.
I don't know if, you know, he's just got a dead arm or what. He's just pitched so much over the years. But, I mean, Felix Hernandez, yeah, he's a name. But like I said, it's much more effective 4 or 5 years ago. Today it's like, oh, okay. Okay, Felix Hernandez is not in. But, David Price certainly gets – the attention of people, and I suspect there's going to be others, right? It's going to be more than just a David Price. I mean, and there already are. I mean, I know there are.
I know Sean Doolittle's on the fence as potentially being one. I was reading that
Ian Desmond, I think, isn't he?
He's out.
I mean, you know, guys like that, and that's fine. I mean, there's nothing. Those guys are, you know, there's solid players, but I'm wondering there's going to be another star player. There's going to be another big name. There's going to be other big
Ryan
names.
Ryan Zimmerman's a pretty big name for the Nationals.
Yeah,
he was one.
He's been around forever.
I know he's not what he used to be, but still, I mean, he's, you know, you talk about kind of the mayor of the Nationals. I mean, that's certainly Ryan Zimmerman. So
no doubt.
Tyson Raw, you know, there's some others that have. But to answer your question about the NHL, one thing that I do like in reading through these proposed agreements or what has come out, you know, the NHL insiders have put all these out, is that they're saying they've set the deadline of it's tentatively Tuesday at 4:00 Central, but basically it's 3 days after they ratify this agreement. So whenever that happens, that you have until then to opt out. No questions asked, no recourse, nothing. Everything's cool. We'll see you next year. I do like that it's been worded that way, that it's, hey, if you decide to opt out, you don't have to give us a reason why. We'll all assume why, but it's totally fine, and we'll move on, and we'll see you when you get back. I am curious of how many players are going to take them up on that offer, because you know there's going to be some, and you know it's logical. One thing I was doing is I was like, okay, is there anybody with the Predators that I believe might take them up on that offer? And I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to determine that. You have to look at family, and are there family members that we don't know about that could be more susceptible to this virus than others? So there's a lot to take into account, but I guarantee you there's going to be some names. This is a discussion we've had basically since the beginning of all of this. Okay, what happens if so-and-so player says, hey, I'm not comfortable, I'm not going to play? Well, now we have more of a clear picture that there's going to be no recourse. It's totally cool. You just got to let us know by a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that. I have zero problem with it. If a player comes out and says, just like baseball, basketball, whatever, and says, hey, I'm not comfortable, I'm going to opt out, I'm okay. That's your right, because they're humans too. So they have to worry about other things than just playing a sport.
Yep.
So that's just kind of how I
feel about it. Well, let's not be phony about it. Let's not pretend like everything is just about safety, because I don't believe that is totally the case, especially on the Major League Baseball side of things. This has been a very contentious back and forth, ugly situation. And right. I think for 60 games and a whole lot left for people who make a lot of money, there's a whole lot of there's some players that, you know, are going to make a whole lot less. And don't tell me that there's not some of that going on. They're not thinking about, like, you know what? Forget the owners. I was going to use another word. Forget the owners.
You're not on vacation anymore. You got to use.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I'm clean it up. But now we're back. Not on vacation. there's players. You know, don't forget Blake Snell was. You know, it wasn't about safety. You know, it was about, hey, I need my full pay. Like, I'm coming back in a pandemic, but I need to get paid full price if I'm going to come back in a pandemic. You know, and then all of a sudden, if at half price, I'm not. Safety is all. I'm just saying it's conveniently used.
Right.
And don't think that there's not other reasons. It's not just about safety. Okay, because there are other things in there. Let's not be naive about this. And they're going to never tell us. It's not like you're ever going to know. It will never be put out there publicly. But let's not be naive and think that it's just for my family. It's just for safety precautions. No, there could be other underlying themes behind guys. You know, maybe they're not happy with their owner. Maybe they're not happy with their manager. Maybe they're not happy with something else. And they're like, you know what? Just forget this season. It's a lost cause. And a lot of it is I've made my money. I can survive this year. I don't need a paycheck this year. I'll be fine. We'll see you in 2021. That stuff is out there. Now, a lot of it, sure, is safety reasons. By the way, Wellington Castillo, the catcher for the Nationals, is another one I was thinking about. Isn't Buster Posey also kind of on the fence, yep, about rejoining the Giants? But it is interesting. And it's going to happen in the NHL. And look, everybody understands safety reasons, and that whatever your reason is, you're going to use that. I'm just saying, don't think that everything is determined by that. There may be some butthurt, okay, some red butt behind the scenes, where especially on the baseball side of things, where they're like, you know what, you know, the way they acted during all these negotiations, forget them. I'll see them in 2021.
You can certainly apply that to baseball. No doubt. You can apply that to baseball. But the other sports, I tend to give them a little more leeway, because and this is something we've discussed. This is baseball has done this to themselves. Now you don't get that benefit of the doubt because of how contentious the negotiations got. Whereas the NHL or the NBA, I think you do, because did they agree on everything necessarily? No. But they didn't let it get contentious in public. They worked together and they figured it out and then came up with an agreement and are close to ratifying that agreement for the NHL. So if a player opts out in the NHL or the NBA, I go, okay, I'm all right with that, because they did work together. I understand what you're saying with baseball, though. They did it to themselves.
Like I said, we're never going to know. They're never going to say it publicly. Sure. But don't tell me that that hasn't been going on privately with some of them. Like Buster Posey. Like, I'm on the fence, you know. And maybe behind the scenes he's like, forget them. You know?
Right.
And I'm not saying that is the case. I'm just saying let's not pretend like it's not in the cards. Like, that is not in the cards whatsoever. It is strictly just about safety and my family, and that's it. Nothing else could come into play. I don't believe that for a minute. But like I said, we'll never know.
Yeah. It depends on the case. Like, if Freddie Freeman, now that he has tested positive and that's out, and, I mean, he's got symptoms, if he comes back and says, hey, you know what, after going through that, I'm out. Then you look at it completely different because you know that he's gone. And
sure.
I'm not saying that just because it's the Braves. I'm saying that because he's one that has tested positive, and his man, you know, he's made it public. His manager has put it out there that he's got a fever. His wife, there's quotes from his wife on it. That's completely different. But you make a good point that we're never going to know with some of these.
Yeah. We'll come back. Adam Sparks, a story that came out over the weekend and got a lot of people's attention, and it's not good for Vanderbilt football. We'll talk about that. It's with the Tennessean, covers Vanderbilt, and we will talk to Adam on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Green Day bringing us back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe here with you today. Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We now bring in Adam Sparks, who covers Vanderbilt for the Tennessean, and he came out with a big story over the weekend. They got a lot of people's attention for the wrong reasons. Of course, there was a Vanderbilt staffer accusing linebacker Charles Wright of raping her, and there's a lot of layers to this story, and a lot of it is not good. Adam, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to be on, guys. How we doing?
Good. How did this all come about? Because, you know, what's interesting in reading your article, and I've been reading what you and Gentry Estes has been putting out there, you know, it was confusing. Because Derek Mason, since he's been the head coach at Vanderbilt, has been coming on doing weeklies with us, you know, during the season. And obviously we talked to him pretty regularly. And I remember asking about him and, you know, him saying he was injured. And so how did this all come about? Because you're on the beat. Where did this come about where more information would start coming your way?
Well, Charles Wright, his senior year was 2019. I had heard rumors after the season was over that there was something associated with a sexual assault or some accusation, nothing in stone, but some accusation, which is why his senior year was cut short. But there was nothing ever to it. You know, Vanderbilt is a private school, so it's not like you can just readily go in and make records requests and get them like you could at a public university. So that kind of sat quiet. And you hear rumors like that around programs all the time. Unless there's something there, you don't report on it. And then 2 weeks ago, a few women, Vanderbilt students, current and past, made some accusations on Twitter, said that various Vanderbilt football players, current and past, had sexually assaulted them, raped them. And one of them was Regan Sims, an equipment manager, a former equipment manager. And we looked into all the accusations, and we're still looking into those. I'm on vacation this week, but when I get back, I've got a whole lot more on my plate to look into. But Regan Sims particularly kept all the documentation that we would need to report on this, that Charles Wright was found responsible for a sexual assault back in early 2018. That's responsible for sexual assault based on Title IX panel. That's the Title IX office at the university. We did more digging in terms of Metro cops and the DA in Metro in Nashville had found reason not to prosecute. So Charles Wright, by the DA's judgment, did not break the law. He was never prosecuted of any criminal charges. But the Title IX office, which has a lower standard, a preponderance of evidence standard, found that he was responsible enough that they looked at it and said it's more likely than not that he violated the sexual misconduct policy, which means usually means you're going to be expelled, which he was. And most of what the case came down to was consent in terms of sexual activity. I've read all the evidence and looked at the text messages, which is both the investigations hinged so much on text messages. I can see why a DA would say, I think there's some reasonable doubt in here about if it was consensual or not. I don't think we could do that he's absolutely guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And I also see why the Title IX office looked at the same evidence or even more after that, more text messages, and said, I'm not so sure if he got consent. And again, the standard is lower, and the sexual misconduct policy at Vanderbilt says if the other person is intoxicated, you bear the burden to make sure you get explicit consent. You can't just kind of hope you got it. In fact, there's some language in the sexual misconduct policy at Vanderbilt that recommends if the other person is intoxicated, you don't even chance that. And so they found him responsible. He was expelled, and we dug and make sure that we got all that to confirm it. And then Vanderbilt, after several statements of saying we don't talk about Title IX, finally figured out that we knew and had to own up to it and said, yeah, we messed up. We miscommunicated in how we handled this.
Is a lot of this language, Adam, stemming back from 2013 for a lot? You know, we have a lot of people that have just moved here, weren't familiar with a very, very, very ugly rape trial in this town around the program. Was a lot of that language that you were laying out there stemming from going back to, what was it, 2013?
Well, it was the frustrating thing is with Vanderbilt, they had, they had the 2013 rape, four football players, the trials over the next, three or four years after that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That occurred. And so the language coming out of that incident was, we're really, really going to clamp down on our Title IX policy and all those things. And, hey, we've got it fixed now. And then when this happened, we found documents and emails that said, we're so sorry that we didn't handle this Charles Wright sexual assault case. We're now going to update our policies to correct that. And then the last week, the statements we're getting were that, yeah, now we see the error of our ways. We're going to update our policies to correct that. So there's a lot of updating policies and a lot of rhetoric that we keep messing up, but we promise we're going to do better next time.
Mm-hmm. So they felt the need to expel Charles Wright, like you said, due to Title IX. They don't have to have that. They don't have to be prosecuted, but yet they still allowed him to work out for NFL scouts, a part of the program's pro day. How take us through that portion of your article where, and of course she's still there. She was what, a freshman, part of the equipment team as a freshman, and so she's still around, and I guess they have to maneuver him in, and she's still in the. So why do you think they allowed that to take place, considering
he was a student who was
expelled?
Anytime when I would tell kind of this story and what we had with documents to prove it to any of my colleagues, editors during this investigative phase, the most visceral experience I would get from everybody, including myself, was the pro day incident. So he's expelled. He appeals it over several months, gets the appeal extended several times because he hired an attorney to do just that. He graduates, but they don't grant him a degree. That's in December, and then we get to February, and they uphold his expulsion. He's expelled, he's banned from campus, can't have contact with her, all the things, can't be on campus. And then during that whole process, he is appealing to Vanderbilt, requesting that he still go to pro day, even if his expulsion is upheld. And then he tells us that Candace Lee, who was the football administrator at the time, she's athletics director now, is the one that communicated to him and his family. They said, yes, it's been granted. You can come back for pro day. His accuser, Regan Sims, is still an equipment manager at the time, so she is scheduled to work pro day. He shows up. She says the head equipment manager has her not go to the indoor facility where pro day is supposed to be so that she would not have contact with him. Essentially, again, everybody that I've talked to always had the more visceral experience of the accuser or the victim, as far as the Title IX sees it, the victim is told to leave, so then the perpetrator, under Title IX, is allowed to use the facility. And it's it's such an odd look. It's something that Vandy could have avoided. I think this probably doesn't even see the light of day if that doesn't happen, because you guys know how pro days work. Derek Mason could have picked up the phone and called his buddy Rod Reed at TSU or MTSU or maybe a local high school and say, hey, you know, scouts are in town. Both has got to be seen. Can I send him over there? Because
sure.
His accuser's equipment manager here. It's an easy fix.
Yep.
Or just, buddy, I love you. I've recruited you. I'm going to call scouts. I'm going to make sure you get a chance. But you can't be here because the university says you can't be here. And internally, I'd love to be a fly on the wall of how that's working, because Malcolm Turner was the athletic director. He was in charge. So the authority at some point has to go to him to approve that. But he had only been AD for a few weeks when that had happened. So I'm sure there's some finger-pointing behind closed doors. The idea that Vandy's answer was this was just miscommunication, inadequate communication. I don't know how you can miscommunicate. He didn't play 8 games because he was expelled for a sexual assault. I don't know how you can go several months and that not be clear, and then him suddenly show up pro day and you think everything is fine. I just don't. That just doesn't hold water.
We're talking to Adam Sparks of the Tennessean about this Vanderbilt story and sexual assault. So the names that you have mentioned, we know Malcolm Turner, he's gone now. So he's no longer with the university, but Candace Lee, Derek Mason, obviously still there. What type of punishment or anything do you think comes with them and how this fell through the cracks, or however you want to put it, but what do you think happens with them now?
That's a good question. My hunch is nothing that we're going to know about. Obviously anything like this, something comes out, Twitter, quickly says, hashtag fire the coach and fire the AD and fire everybody. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, for one, the language that has come out of Vanderbilt in statements is that the blame is going to be shared, at least publicly. So Candace Lee is the one that communicated that. Well, she was the football administrator, so she can also internally say, well, it's my job to communicate anything that has to do with football. That was my job. But I had a boss. I had an athletic director, Malcolm Turner, so I do what he says. Derek Mason can say that Title IX is handled by the university. That's not a football coach. I do what my boss says, and I do what the university says, and I'm not the one that approved it. So you can – you can kind of go in circles and point to somebody else, and if you're all sharing the blame, it's kind of hard to fire one person or another or to have some kind of sanction on one person or another. I mean, I had a number of people that said, well, couldn't you fire Derek Mason for calls now? There's always a for calls clause in contracts that says you can rip up a contract and not pay somebody the buyout if you have some kind of ethical cause that you can fire them for. Well, he wasn't even the one that we know of that approved it. So I don't think you could do something like that to him when he's maybe right. Third or fourth or fifth on the list of people to blame. So I just think internally there will be some things that go on. I think externally I think everybody will keep their job and things will just move on. And the fact that they're blaming it on policies that need to be updated tells you that they're not going to put a name on the blame.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem, that they're talking about policies that need to be updated and, the miscommunicate, whatever they want to say. They had a very, very big trial that happened in 2013, and there are a lot of people still there that know about that and remember that. And the fact that here we are in 2020, this all happened in 2018, 2019, and there's still an issue over there. That's what boggles my mind, that it got to this point where you're having to do your job and report this story, and this wasn't taken care of right away.
Well, and I think there's another layer to this, too, that during our reporting, Vanderbilt knew we had a story coming out, and every time I would send a new set of questions, it revealed to them that, hey, we know more, and we know more, and we're going to report all these things. And so you see their statements over time that we put on their website starting to broaden. And because they had to answer things that they knew we would have in our story. Well, late in the process, and we have this in the story, Project SAFE, which is the sexual misconduct, basically the rape counseling center on campus, went and got Regan Sims, the accuser, to give a disclosure that they could acknowledge working with her. Now, usually a Title IX office or a rape counseling center doesn't go to that extent to name the person, but it was clear that they wanted to put out there that, listen, she's given us permission to say that we helped her, we supported her. In other words, we did our job, and it's in print that we did our job. So I think there's another layer there of the Title IX office and the university side saying, we didn't fail anybody in this case. We did our job. I have to think if that's a subtle pointing the finger back to athletics. We did our job, so obviously somebody else didn't. And I think that's another layer that internally probably is going to have some legs at Vanderbilt.
Where do you think this goes from here? And I know you said you're on vacation, Adam, and there'll be some more reporting when you get back. But where do you think this is headed, in your opinion?
Well, for one, I want to know what policies need to be updated, and if that's a cop out, or if there's something to that. Some things don't align there. The miscommunication policies, and again, that's the claim. It was policies and it was errors and miscommunication, and we're going to fix them. Well, I don't know. There's miscommunication sounds like, oh, he was expelled and it was upheld, and we didn't know it, so we let him come, or he showed up, and when he showed up, we thought he had not been expelled, or maybe he won his appeal. And the fact that we now know that he requested to come and he was granted that request, that doesn't sound like miscommunication. That sounds like you made a bad decision. So I don't know what fixes that in some kind of policies. So I want to know from here what policies are changing, and whatever changes are made, what was wrong with the original policies? In other words, who screwed up and how did they screw up? So I'll keep an eye on that. There's obviously other accusations that I mentioned before. Accusations are just accusations until they have some documentation or something to support them. This case that we reported on absolutely did, and I'll kind of work to see if the others do or don't. It's a sensitive topic. You always have to be careful anytime you're reporting it. And the more documentation you have, the more that supports it. And you want to be fair to all sides. I almost said both sides, but there's always kind of more than two here. And so we'll kind of continue to dig into that. I mean, it took 2 weeks to do this one and to do it as in the way that we did, and so it may take some time to do more. But I think the big thing to look at is probably if the policies actually change, because that'll tell you whether or not that was a legitimate reason, or I would even say a legitimate excuse, if there's such a thing.
Where is Regan Sims right now? Is she?
She's in Omaha. That's where she lives. She'll be if Vandy does in fact return to campus, then she'll be back in about a month and a half to start her senior year.
So she'll be starting her senior year at Vanderbilt. Okay.
Yeah, and she's no longer an equipment manager. So she did one more season after all this happened. She's engaged to Caleb Pert. He was another linebacker, a teammate of Charles Wright. She's engaged to him. He had just finished up his senior year last year. So she remained as an equipment manager to work alongside of him. And he's graduated and moved on now, so she's just a student for her senior year.
Good stuff. Hey, we appreciate you joining us on your vacation. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. That is Adam Sparks on the Vanderbilt beat for the Tennessean. Tough story. Good job by him doing a lot of excellent reporting on this, but it's not a good look. It's not a good look for people who weren't here 7 years ago. Well, I feel like it went on forever, years and years. Very, very, very ugly rape trial that took place in this city. And that was obviously a bad look. That's when James Franklin was the head coach here. And now you hear this and you do wonder, like, gosh, Vanderbilt does things differently than everybody else. It's well documented. We talk about it all the time. It's just amazing to me. The part that stood out the most was reading how Charles Wright's been expelled. So obviously there was enough with Title IX for them to say, yeah, you may not be getting prosecuted by the law, but Title IX, we have enough to expel you, but yet you're able to come back and participate in a pro day. That is That was a little mind-blowing to me. And as Adam, well, he put it out there very well. It could have easily been fixed. It was an easy fix. You pick up and the phone and you could have him at a – I mean, look at some of the local high schools here, some of the fields that they have or the turf. Right. They've got – you know, some of these private institutions have beautiful setups over there, or TSU or somebody. It's an easy fix with scouts here in town to say, oh, yeah, you need to – for Charles Wright, you need to go to over to FRA, and Chase McCabe will be there waiting for you to take you to Charles Wright, and you know, so you can conduct his pro day. I mean, but to allow him back in there in the, it's just that blew me away. That part I just couldn't believe. Like, why would you ever risk that? Considering,
because you know the. I mean, you know the history. There are people in that building that know the history, the athletic director being one of them, because she's been there for so long.
Right.
Derek Mason took the job while all that was going on.
Right.
You know, and so the I don't even want to call them excuses, but this shouldn't have happened. Like, let's just bottom line, it shouldn't have gotten this far. Once he's expelled, then he's expelled. And even to the extent of calling somewhere to get a pro day set up, I kind of look at it as no, you have to wash your hands at this point because everything that is on that university because of what happened in 2013, you have to be cognizant of that. So I it boggles the mind. It's like I said with Adam, it boggles the mind that it got to that point and that that this became a story and as big of a story as it has become because of the history that's happened there.
Yep. So good work by Adam Sparks putting together this story, and we'll see what comes of it, if there's any more layers to it. The Tennessee Titans have sent out a letter to their season ticket holders, and we'll tell you what it said, talking about possible changes for the 2020 season. We'll do that on the other side to close out hour number one of Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, don't forget you can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. It's free and easy. Or you can enable your Alexa skill, or if you have a Google Home, ask it to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. A lot of fast and easy ways to listen to the show anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Like from the beach. You could do that.
Exactly.
If you're at the beach or whatever you're doing. Wherever you are. If you are over in Sweden and you're about to come back to Nashville, you can listen to us. No problem. No problem whatsoever. By the way, we were talking about Major League Baseball players opting out, and one of those players that we just learned in the last 10 minutes or so, Nick Markakis, has opted out.
Yeah, saw that. And that one right there is, I mean, he was going to be platooning in the outfield with all the outfielders that they have added this year. I mean, that's a big loss. I mean, that's a guy that has been there for several years now and has been a key part of that club. I mean, had some key at-bats for them. But at the end of the day, you know, it's his decision, and so he's going to be one of those that – and this was probably going to be his last year in Atlanta anyway, but an interesting move for him that he's going to back out now. What does that mean for the outfield for the Braves? Does that open the door for – Christian Pache, who's an up-and-comer for Atlanta. We'll ask Chris Domino at 1 o'clock today his thoughts on that. I think that means he's probably, you know, going to be a part of the conversation of, you know, they still have Adam Duvall as well. But going to be interesting what that outfield looks like as they try and put that roster together. But that's a pretty significant name opting out.
Yep. We will talk to Chris Domino from down in Atlanta at 1 o'clock today. Talk about Nick Markakis opting out, Freddie Freeman testing positive. And, oh, by the way, is there really much discussion right now? I haven't seen it, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. About the Braves and their name, is the Indians are considering a name change. The Redskins are well on their way to being forced to change their name. Is anything on the Atlanta front?
Well, that's certainly been discussed, and – you know, we talked about it a little bit at the end of the week, Willie and I did. And I think, you know, because the Indians, like you said, the Braves, the Redskins, the Chiefs, you know, does that come out? What I think happens is, I don't know if they change the name, but the tomahawk chop probably goes away. that aspect of the logo, the tomahawk, I could see that going away. And they maybe attempt to do what the Indians did and move away from...
They moved away from Chief Wahoo.
Yeah, right. But they're still, like, but now they're reviewing, right. You know, do they drop the name Indians?
You're right.
And just completely rebrand. So I don't know. We're obviously in different times. The Redskins thing has been around for a long time. And I know so have the Indians and the Braves and Chiefs. That has certainly been there too, but not to the extent of the Redskins. But I think we're really in a time of change. And you've used the phrase turning a corner, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, you saw the Ron Rivera came out over the weekend and said that they actually have some names on the table that they've been discussing, a couple he really likes. And there's some owners that are wanting to sell their part of the franchise because they say, Dan Snyder's not a good partner. Can't imagine that, what that's like.
Shocking.
Yeah, I'm really, really surprised by that. Happy Thanksgiving. But, yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with it. But, Willie, because it got brought up on the text line, somebody asked me, how would I feel if the Braves changed their name? And I honestly don't know. I mean, if that is what needs to happen, then I guess it's one of those things that I'll just have to get used to, and it'll need to happen. But like, how do you feel? I mean, if you've been an Indians fan for a long time, like if the Indians drop the name Indians and are, you know, something else, I don't know what they would be called, but something else. I mean, have you thought about that and what it would be like?
Well, yeah. What do I do with the some of the cool shirts that I have that I wear? I don't know. I mean, you know, geez,
I'd keep
the wardrobe.
I mean, that's one thing that I'd hang on to everything, because I mean, at that point, you know, it's a, even if they take the tomahawk off and they keep the name Braves, or they, you know, they rebrand with the name Braves, but Braves means something else, then, you know, everything I have with a tomahawk on it, or it's obviously going to be something that's a collector's item that I'm going to hang on to forever.
Yeah, I mean, the Redskins have always been kind of the one that's been out front. You know, people have been more – that has been more of a, I guess, a core topic than Indians and Braves. You know, not that it hasn't been discussed, but the Redskins has been heavily discussed over the years. I mean, heavily right. discussed. This is not – anything new whatsoever. The only reason that this is going to happen, and it's going to happen, is because little Daniel Snyder is getting forced to. I mean, it's, you know, I was reading over the weekend, you know, between Nike, not, you know, they're taking all of his apparel down, and FedEx, Fred Smith telling them, we're not going to be, you know, they play at FedEx Stadium, you know, that's not going to be in play. It's everybody that has come out and said either you change the name or else, it's hundreds, let me repeat this, hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds.
Right.
In fact, I think the number I saw was total value is about 600 mil if everybody pulled, if Daniel Snyder just did what he's always done and be like, I'm not changing the name, and it's going to be the Redskins, it would be basically $600 million that it would cost him. Look. He is one of the worst owners in sports. He's not the worst, but he is one of the worst. He is at or near the top of worst owners in professional sports, but he still is a businessman, and money right. talks. And as much of an idiot as most people think he is, and he has not done Washington any favors since being their owner. And how long has he been their owner now? I mean, all they've done is a whole lot of losing, basically, on his watch. The only time he had any success was, what, one season with Joe Gibbs? Joe Gibbs, yep. Part two. And that was it. Even Joe Gibbs had to get away from him. But they're going to do it because money talks. And, you know, he's not going to lose $600 million or hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars over it. So he's going to be – it's going to force him to change. – I suspect the Indians are headed that way. I was just curious what it's like on the Braves front. I haven't heard a whole lot surrounding that change name, but we can certainly ask it to Chris Domino.
Yeah, I'd be very curious of his thoughts on it, because I'm sure that there are discussions, I mean, about that it could happen, and you would almost have to have discussions at this point. Now, I think it's different for certain teams like the Braves or the Chiefs or maybe to an extent the Indians. But like with the Redskins, you can't have a thorough review and then come back and say, no, we're going to keep the name. We know that's not going to happen. We know that they're going to come back and they're going to say, hi, we are now the Washington, insert new name here. So I don't know exactly what any type of discussions or reviews are going to happen with other teams, because I think we agree that you know, and the Braves made a move many, many years ago when they got rid of Chief Nakahoma, because that, you know, obviously fell into the what we're talking about and how those things needed to change. But as for the name and whether they, you know, they drop the name Braves and become the Atlanta insert bird because that's what they do with their teams, then I don't know. You know, I mean,
I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, the Falcons, the Hawks, Thrashers. That name's not being used. You know, they can be the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yeah, I don't think that one's going to work. I don't think they're going to go there.
The, you know, Gwinnett, their AAA team that is not that far from Atlanta, they were the Gwinnett Braves for a long time, and a couple of seasons ago became the Gwinnett Stripers. Now, the reason that they gave was they wanted to differentiate, since they were all there together, they wanted to differentiate the brands between the big club and the AAA club. But you do wonder if they went that direction for other reasons. So,
Let's go to Doug. Son Holdy wants to weigh in. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I listen to you guys, you know, talk back and forth about, okay, what are you going to do when they don't call them the Indians? You're an Indian fan. And the other one, you know, said, what about the Braves? Neither one of you said that, you know, I've drawn a line in the sand. I'm moving on to another team. I'm trying to find a new team to support. Both of you just said, hey, we'll deal with that when it comes. And the reason I'm saying that, kudos to you guys, because, you know, neither one of you, you know, said I'm out in the term of when a team has made a good run. You always say, it's been a good run. And I think that's where we are on these two things of changing the name. There are more fans like you that are ready to, you know, stay loyal and move on to the new change than there are those that say, I'm out, got a new team. I'll hang up the list. Kudos
to you
guys.
All right. Well, thank you. Look, I don't know how – look, it's, like I said, this is a topic we've tried to have over the years, and Willie knows this. You know, people that are much more in tune with, you know, why this is offensive to – I'm not of Indian descent, okay? I do not understand, and, you know, and we've tried to – and, you know, you've seen the interviews over the years of, you know, what it – you know, how it's how it affects – people of Indian descent, what it means to them and how it is very offensive to them. I don't understand. All I can do is listen to them. And I think what's important with what's going on right now, and I've been saying this for weeks, that we have turned a corner, and that's a good thing. And I said, I don't know what all this means. I don't know how far what turning the corner means, how much change there's going to be. Well, I'm starting to see that it means a whole lot. Like, there's a lot going on, and it's, you know, a lot going on, and that means turning a corner. We've turned a real corner. There is change is happening, and on a lot of fronts. I don't fault, like, I don't get mad. It's like people that say, well, you know, the Confederate flag, like, why now? Like, I don't say why now, because why would you get mad? It's happened. So the right thing has happened, right? So should we get mad? How do we go back and get mad at, you know, for something that didn't happen before? We always say better late than never, right? Is that something we all use? Better late than never?
Right.
So if it's happening and it's for the better, why would you be mad of, well, why did it take till now? Or what, you know, when you say, or you say, well, you weren't upset till now. Well, you know, okay, but things have changed, okay? The landscape has changed, and that's good, right? Maybe there wasn't enough. People have tried in the past, and it just wasn't enough. It's not like these subjects have not been discussed. The Confederate flag and the Redskins and all these things are well-discussed topics for years and years and years. Clearly, there wasn't enough there, a movement enough to make the change actually happen, even though there were a lot of people lobbying for this and people standing up and screaming, you've got to do this, and it just wasn't enough. Well, now we're finally there, so isn't that good? Like, we shouldn't be mad that it's taken – I mean, I get it if you're mad that it's taken this long because I understand your frustration, but shouldn't you also be happy that it's actually happening rather than us continuing to have the same discussion over and over and over again for years to come?
No, I completely agree with that. It's you have to look at it as sometimes change takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time. And we're at a point where, and I believe that most everybody agrees with what I'm about to say, but if all of this is happening and we're having these discussions and they're actually playing sports, I don't know if we turn the corner like we have. I think that not having that and not having some distractions have allowed us the time to sit down down and talk and have these discussions and actually make change. And I think that's a good thing. It's a very good thing. So I don't know. I silver lining of everything, I believe that that's going to be a big positive that comes out of all of this is we've actually had time to focus on what we needed to focus on and make some change, and therefore you're going to see probably this season the Washington football team will have a different name, which has been a long time coming. You're going to see other things that are in place that are changing in our world, not just sports. So, you know, I'm one of those that, like I said, if Atlanta comes out and they say, hey, you know what, this will be our last season being known as the Braves, we're going to look at changing our name that reflects Atlanta and reflects the culture that we're trying to instill, I'd go, okay, I'm still a fan of the team. I'm not a fan of them because of their name. I'm a fan of them because I the players, and I'm a fan of the team. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
I said we were going to discuss what the Titans have sent out to their season ticket holders. I felt like, you know, we got wrapped up into this discussion. Why not save it for Teron? We're going to talk with TD to start the second hour of the program. He covers the Titans. He's the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. So we will start hour number two with Teron Davenport. That's next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.